Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
Working? How's that? There we go. My name's John Ireland. I get to be the lead pastor at this church and honored to serve you. I want to start with a question this morning. I'm going to ask it of myself, but I want you to ask it too. And here's the question. God, what do you think of me? God, what do you think of me? And how you answer that question will impact your life. You might be sitting here going, I'm wondering. I'm a person who wonders. Is there a God? And if there is, could he love me? Is there really a God? And knowing who I am, could he still love me? And I know that God brought some people this morning that we might call wanderers, but there's also some of you that I might call wanderers back to church Sunday. Maybe for some of you, you've been wandering since COVID. Maybe you just found yourself getting out of spiritual practices, rhythms. I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about just simply even in your spiritual life, your relationship with Christ. And you found yourself just slowly drifting away, wandering. What does God think of me? Oh, a wanderer. Disappointed, disillusioned, angry, mad at me. What does God really think about wanderers? And then there's others of you I might put in the category of wrestlers. You're a wrestler. You have questions. You're analytical. You have doubts. And you're thinking, I got to figure all of that out. And then maybe I'll go to church. Or then maybe I'll begin to follow Jesus. And then maybe I'll get out of the visitor center and into the life that was described up here. And we think, I got to get my act together first. I got to get my questions answered first. I don't want to bring my doubts to church. That'd be like just kind of dousing a fire. And yet, what does God think of those that wrestle? Honestly, authentically. Is God mad at you? Disappointed in you? Does he bring you to church to beat you up? And then there's others of you, I would say, you're the rule follower. You've been working. I'm working, following the rules. I'm doing everything, but God's not answering my prayers, and my life's not really turning out the way I thought it would be. What does God think of me? Does he see me? Does he know me? Does he care about me? You know, the church is here to answer all of that. The church is here to be a family for all of you who are wondering and wandering and wrestling and working and trying to figure out, is there a God? And what if there is, what does he think of me? And we've been studying a prayer the last several weeks. Last week we did a marriage one-off, but if you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. This passage, it's not on the screen. I have one verse that we'll put on the screen in a few minutes, but I'm going to read for you this prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. The Apostle Paul's writing to a group of believers, people that trust Christ, and he says this, when I think of all of this, And we've talked about, what is all of this? It's that we're richer than we realize in Christ, that there's so much blessing, so much favor, so much love, so much mercy, so much grace, so much power, so much fill in the blank, right? And when I think of, and the title of this whole sermon series is God is bigger and better than you think. If you got God figured out, that's not God. Because he's bigger than you think and he's better than you think. Paul says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. I fall to my knees in reverence, in awe, in humility. And I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength. Who doesn't need a little more inner strength? Paul says, I'm praying that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. Did you know? That's what God wants to do. He wants to make his home in your heart. He wants to take up residency. Now, I didn't want to be a visitor or a guest. He wants to take up permanent residency in your life and in your heart. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. And here's today's verse. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. May you, may you, that's my prayer for you today, for all of us, may you, as Paul prayed, may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully, and then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And now all glory to God, who's able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There's another translation that translates this verse, that it's the NCB, the New Century Bible. It says, Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. But I pray that you'll be able to know that love. And then you can be filled with the fullness of God. I have a challenge here in just a few minutes that we have here. And it's simply this. What's the end game here? Why is Paul praying this prayer? Why does he want you and me and the church in Ephesus, why does he want them to experience the love of God? What's the desired outcome of that? What happens to our lives when we experience love? What happens to your heart, to your life, to your family, to your friendships, to the kind of person you are, your integrity, your character? What happens to you when you become a person that experiences God's unfailing love? Well, he says in the verse, you'll be made complete. You'll be made complete. He's inferring that we are incomplete. We're still growing. We're broken people. We're people that have lost our way. We are not fully mature and fully like Jesus. He says here that the end game is that you'd be made complete with what? With all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. With all the fullness of life. John Stott writes, another way of expressing this prospect is that we would become like Christ. That, my friends, that's the end game. When you experience love, something supernatural happens. I can't measure it. I can't show you 10 pounds of love, but love's real. I can't measure it out. Here's 15 yards of love. You get it? No. but it's real. And there's a difference here between explaining God's love and experiencing God's love. Notice that Paul doesn't say, may you be able to explain the love of Christ. That's not his prayer. His prayer is, may you experience. Experience. Why? Because it will change you. It will change you. It will transform you. When you are deeply loved and you're convinced of it, not just because somebody explained it to you, but because you experienced this love, it will transform you. I did some research this week that, what's the impact of feeling unloved? What's the impact of your life when you're like, I'm not on the receiving end. I'm not feeling the love anywhere in my life. I'm not feeling the love here. I'm not experiencing that. Yeah, I know. For God so loved the world that he gave. I know that. Okay, whatever. What's the impact on a person's life when they walk through life questioning whether or not they're loved, worth it, wanted, seen, known, really known, and loved? Feeling unloved stunts our growth, our happiness, and our ability to love others. Did you hear that? Feeling unloved, walking through life feeling unloved, stunts my growth, my contentment, my happiness, my ability to love other people. Love is the foundational element for thriving and flourishing in life. Did you know that? I mean, we could just stop here and close in prayer. The foundational element in life for a life that's thriving and flourishing is love. There's not a person in this room that doesn't want to thrive and flourish and live a life like Jesus, full of love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness. A person that's self-controlled, that you make choices about what you want most over what you want now. That's self-control. There's not a person in here that doesn't want to be able to live that way, in the freedom to be more loving and joyful and patient, right? And yet when we live unloved, it stunts our growth. So God, because he created us, he knows that that's how we are hardwired by him. And he says, I want you to experience it. What's the difference between explaining and experiencing? Have you thought about that? I just looked it up in the dictionary. Here's what it means. To explain means to make something clear, easy to understand up here, by describing or giving information about it. To experience something is the firsthand knowledge obtained from doing, seeing, or feeling things, or something that happens which has an effect on you. How many of you have discovered the life-changing jam, Marion Berry habanero pepper jelly? How many of you from Kelly's? How many of you have experienced this? Now, I'm going to explain to you Oregon Marion Berries. There's some lemon juice, and there's some sugar cane, and there's some habanero pepper in there. How's that feel? That change your life? No. But once you taste it, once you get a little, put a finger in there, put that on your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Put that on your Woo! It's a game changer, friends. Now, you understand what I'm talking about. I can get up here and explain the love of God. And you're like, what time does this service get out, man? But to experience it, to experience love, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. And there are some of you in here that are walking through your life feeling unloved. And God brought you here today to remind you. That's what the church's job is, to remind you that you're wanted, that you're loved, deeply loved. And my prayer is the prayer of Paul's. There's this great little verse in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. I've never seen this verse before. You might want to underline it in your Bibles. It says this: may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. So how? Just think about that verse. How do I experience God? God is going to direct. It's got to be supernatural. I can get up here. I'm explaining it. That's what I'm doing. That's the irony of the sermon right now. I'm explaining it to you. I'm not jumping off the stage and giving you a hug and offering you forgiveness because you betrayed me. Then you're going to feel it. In fact, that's what my whole notes here are really just. I interviewed a bunch of people this week. How do you actually experience God's love? Here. I asked staff people, I asked friends, I asked family. How do you experience? Not explain, experience. And I hate to say it, but it's a God thing. It's a supernatural thing. You have to have a spiritual antenna. You have to have a spiritual sensitivity. You have to pray this prayer. God, would you direct my heart into your love? Would you give me the filter to see what's happening? All these love messages you're sending to me every day, that I'd begin to see and receive your love because it's real. Here's just a few ways on how you can experience God's love. You can add to this list. Number one, and then this is all from interviewing people, silence, stillness, slowing down. It's really, really difficult to receive love when you're in a hurry. If you are living a hurried life, it's hard to experience love in your life. I've told this story before. I spent the night at a friend's house 25 years ago. It was breakfast time. We were having breakfast, and his teenage son ran down the stairs with a piece of paper, put it on the kitchen table, and said, "Dad, I love you." And then he took a pencil and he checked a box and he ran out the door to school. I was like, what just happened? Well, they have to tell us, our kids have to tell us they love us every day. And I went, "Huh, you feeling love now, bro?" Like, that was hurried love. That we don't feel love when it's hurried. We have to slow down, pause to be still, acknowledge and become aware of God's presence. James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Slow down. Get quiet. Find your chair. That's language we use here at Ocean Hill. Where's your chair? Where's that place where you meet with God, where he shows up in your life and he speaks to you and he loves you? You receive that love. Another way is through nature. Several people said, "I experience God's love through nature." Psalm 35:5, "The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth." Out there. The unfailing love of the Lord is out there. It fills the earth. John came up here with a backpack on. Getting out into nature, in the mountains, in the rivers, on the lakes, watching the ocean, getting up for a sunrise. Here, we encourage people to do the first thing we talked about, getting silent and slowing down. This is taken, I took this last year up at the Commodoli Hermitage, the retreat center in Big Sur. And I was just sitting in that. And soaking in, this is a gift from God. I could go, "Oh man, creation, that's," or, "Oh, nature," which some of our world does. Or I can go, "God's giving me a gift right now. God, my creator, is giving me a gift to soak in a timeless moment, to realize how big he is and how small I am." And nature is a gift from God. from God? How about if you began to reframe the way you think about nature and you started to see it as God's way of saying, I love you. I'm present with you. I am here. This is a gift, this sunrise, this sunset, this mountain. Here's the third thing I heard from people. Music is the way you experience God's love. Put your headphones on, you're listening, you're being touched, moved, wrapped up in a hug by God through a worship song, through music. Zephaniah 3:17, one of my favorite verses. For the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all of your fears. And then listen, he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. It's like God's singing joyfully over your life. And so when you listen to worship music, what if you reframed it and said, God, I'm not just telling you I love you. I'm also receiving your love. Natalie and I were, I think I can share this story. My wife's really organized. She listens to worship music in her car before noon. When I get in her car and I, no. Before noon, it's only worship music. And from noon on, it's country music. She's worship music and she's country music. And the other day we were listening, and there's an album or whatever you call them now, CDs, Apple Music, I don't know whatever it is. It was a bunch of hymns by Carrie Underwood, and Great Is Thy Faithfulness came on, and my wife said, this is my favorite song. It reminds me that God loves me. God uses music to send you a message that he loves you. And then, of course, people, if you're taking notes. People, people, people. Did you know God loves you through people rather than a quick story. Those of you that were here last week, Natalie and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. We had some people, some friends over last week to our house, and we celebrated. But a childhood friend just shared some really beautiful words thanking me for my impact on his life. And it really moved me and it touched me. Now, how do I receive that appreciation, that affirmation, those words of love? I'm so amazing, man. I am the man. I mean, is that, or what if we reframed, said, wow, God's giving me a gift. God is actually loving me right now through this person, through this friendship, through this family member, through this thank you note that I got, or this text that I just got sent about, man, I just appreciate you and I love you and blah, blah. Do I go, yeah, oh, look at me? Or do I go, wow, God, thank you. God loves us through people. Let me give you another one. It's through truth, the truth of his word. You read God's word over and over and over, threaded through the whole Bible. It just reminds us that God's love is unfailing. So when we soak in the truth, when we believe and receive the truth that I'm chosen, I'm forgiven, I'm treasured, I'm loved by God. And my wife and I, we do that every morning. We sit under the word of God and we pray and we connect to God. We have a little God room, we call it. And we listen to Lectio 365, the 24/7 prayer app. It's and every day. And we're reminded that we're loved by God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, for we know, this is from God's word, for we know how dearly God loves us. Oh, how do we know that? How do we know that? Because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The truth of God's word says you are loved by God because he's given you his Spirit to live inside of you and to fill your heart with his love. Another that people said that they feel God's love or experience it is through blessings, through provisions, right? I love it. One person in children's ministry this morning, when we went over the sermon, one of the teachers said, "Food. I experience God's love through food, like having a great meal. I actually feel loved by God through the blessing of that, the provision of that." Philippians 4:19, "This same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ." God is going to supply all your needs. They're gifts from God, all the basics in life, provision and blessing. Another one is confession and forgiveness. Anybody ever feel dirty or guilty or like, "Oh my gosh, I did that again"? Does anybody relate to the word "again" in your spiritual life? Yeah. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I make willful choices, when I choose what I want now over what I want most, I beat myself up. I have a lot of guilt and shame. And the sooner I can get to Psalm 51, the sooner I can get to Psalm 32, the sooner I can get on my knees and confess and say, "God, help me. I'm a piece of work. I keep making that stupid choice. I keep indulging the flesh. I keep whatever it is." And it's not just the confession. Then it's knowing that God is bigger and better. And I receive that promise in 1 John that if we confess our sins, God is faithful, meaning he's dependable, reliable. God is faithful and just, and meaning he's fair. God is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sin. And something happens to me. I feel loved because I feel forgiven. The dirt feels cleansed. The shame is lifted into freedom, the freedom of forgiveness. Psalm 32, "Before I confessed my sins, my bones felt limp and I groaned all day long. Night and day, your hand was heavily on me. My strength was gone in the heat of summer." Can you relate to that language? David says, the next verse says, "So I confessed my sins. I told them all to you. I said, I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins. And then you forgave me and took away all my guilt." And when you do that, there's no more shame. There's no more guilt. He's taken it away. There's nothing but love from the Father. And then, of course, the last two, protection. Some few people said, when I feel protected by God. And this kind of connects to sin. Have you ever made a bad choice and you should have suffered the consequences, maybe a business deal? Maybe in your marriage, I don't know what it is, but God spared you. You're like, "Oh crap, my life's over. Oh crap, if I get caught. Oh, if whatever it is." And somehow, some way, "God help me." God, you know, you're praying that, "Oh my God, rescue me." And he does. I guess I'm the only one who has ever heard of that. Don't you feel loved in that moment? Like, "Oh God, and I promise I'll never do that again, Lord," you know. And then we're back. But God's protection, his grace surrounds us. And when you've been on the receiving end of that grace, when God has spared you from consequences that could ruin your life, ruin your marriage, ruin your family, ruin a business deal, ruin whatever, you fill in the blank. In fact, I had somebody tell me several years ago they cheated their way through Westmont. They felt so much guilt and shame. I cheated my way through it, and I never got caught. But the weight of that, right? But then through that confession, and then able to articulate, and I don't know why, but I just feel like God somehow, like I should have been like my life ruined. And now I'm making a commitment before you. I'm not going to do that. I want you to hold me accountable. It was just a special moment. But let me close with this, and it's probably, unless you're not a church person, the most obvious. God wants you to experience his love through the cross, which is his sacrifice for you. His sacrifice for you. You feel loved. Think about a time when somebody sacrificed for you. Literally, physically, financially. Somebody took the brunt so you could experience freedom, so you wouldn't have to pay the cost. When you've been on the receiving end of somebody, a friend, a family member, somebody that made a great sacrifice, you feel love. And I'm explaining it, but we want you to experience it this morning. So I'm going to have the band come up. This is the Lord's table. If you're not familiar with it, it's the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for your mistakes, your selfishness, your sinfulness, your guilt, all of it taken away. And we wanted to have you experience his love. And so on the night in which he was betrayed, if you don't know the gospel story, Jesus was surrounded by people that were a work in progress. Do you know at that table, Judas was at that table, and Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. So he said, "Get out of here. You're unworthy." Is that what he said? No. He gave Judas the bread and the cup for the forgiveness of sins. And you know who else was at that table? It was Peter, who had just said, "I don't even know Jesus. I do not know the man." Jesus said, "Peter, for you, for the forgiveness of sins." And then, of course, doubting Thomas was there going, "Yeah, but Lord, what about, and I'm deconstructing my faith, and what about, and what?" And Jesus said, "Hey, Thomas, for you, my body broken, my blood shed." And so, if you have an ounce of faith, if you have a desire to experience the love of God, you're invited to come to the table, both sides of the table, break off a piece of bread, dip it in the grape juice, and then partake. If you want to kneel, because you got some business to do with God, then you can kneel. We're going to have prayer team members in the corner if you'd like to receive prayer. But when you're ready, why don't we stand together? We're going to sing. You're invited to come and receive, and don't miss this, experience. That's my prayer, that you would experience the radical, unfailing love of God. So, Father, meet us at the table and lead us into your love in a fresh way. I pray that that this experience would transform every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come when you're ready.